anyone.
He did
have a conversation with Nicodemus and the aspects of all of that, as you well know, in John 3. But here we have this woman, a Samaritan woman, who is coming to Jacob's well. And in doing so, you'll find, as I read it, and I hope as you would read it and hear it today, it shows us the heart of Jesus, the love that he has for the souls of people, especially this one particular individual. This woman is a Samaritan. She's an outcast. Not only was she an outcast, she had a reputation. She had sins in her life that were flagrant. And in the aspects of that, she seemed to be unashamed, unaware of all the wrongdoings in her particular life. But she came to the well, and she came with an empty bucket, not realizing that her life was as empty as the bucket. And Jesus' interest and his desire is to fill, if you will, the bucket of her life. And as you review this conversation and as it goes on here, you'll see that Jesus is definitely breaking all forms of tradition, because Jews did not talk to Samaritan, nor did a male Jew talk to a female, especially a Samaritan woman. That was absolutely taboo. Yet the love of Jesus didn't know any boundaries. It substantiates the fact that there is no racial concept to evangelism or sharing the good news or sharing the gospel. There is no bounds. There is no limit. Whatever. Everyone needs to have their bucket filled. And the aspects of that, of course, that in this conversation, it is going to end up with her having her life and her soul saved. That's the context. You see, Jesus did not need her help to get a drink of water. He didn't. He didn't need it at all. But what he does do is he uses this time to take what is going to happen and turn it over into a conversation that will lead her to a point where she's going to see that she has a need and only he can fulfill it. So why did he and how did he and what did he ask for? He simply said, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." Her reply is, "You're requesting me for a drink?" And I suppose her context of how she replied could be anticipated. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to give you a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? Now, I kind of try to put it in the same context that she probably said it. She probably said it in an insulting way, because the Samaritans didn't like the Jews any better than the Jews liked the Samaritans. Okay? So her response could be, as it would, maybe, sort of, as an insult, you know. Who in the world do you think you are, being a Jew, asking me as a Samaritan woman to give you a drink? Okay? Did I say that good enough? All right? Maybe not. But Jesus responded. You notice how he responded? Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is asking you to give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water. If you only knew who I am. Evidently, she didn't know who he was. Evidently, she didn't recognize him at all. Had no idea who this one was that was talking to her, carrying on this conversation. In fact, she's shocked. She's overwhelmed. And she feels maybe a little insulted that she's put in a spot where this Jewish man is talking to her as a Samaritan woman and asking him, "Give me a drink. Who in the world? Give you a drink." I think she could have said, "Go jump in the lake." Living water? Can you imagine Jesus turning and taking this time frame of a physical need, "Give me a drink," turning it over and sharing and talking to her about a spiritual need? You get it? You see, what you and I need to learn is how to take situations in life that we run into, the conversations that we deal with, that comes to a point where we could turn it over and start talking to someone about living water. Okay, the well the bucket, the need to draw water to quench one's thirst, that is it. He takes that very subject, changes it over into a spiritual equivalent, and talks to her not about physical water, but about spiritual water, living water. Her curiosity evidently is aroused, right? I mean, what does she say? She responds to her, you know, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. I mean, you got to think about the fact that she's now dealing with what he said, living water. Well, sir, you're here. The well's deep, you don't have a bucket, and you're going to give me living water. What? I mean, come on now. Think about it. Process it with her. Are you greater than our father Jacob? I mean, after all, he's the one that gave us this well. He drank from it. His sons drank from it. Their cattle drank from it. And as they all did this, and sat, are you greater than they are? Are you greater than Jacob? A father who gave us this well? Now think about it. What do? You get up in the morning and you turn on a faucet. And out of that faucet comes running water. You probably took, hopefully, a shower today. Turn on the faucet, the water comes spraying, and you stood there and you had a shower. You got all the water you need today. But back then they didn't. Back then they had very few wells. The wells usually were quite deep, some of them over 100 feet deep. And they had to have a way in which they could take a bucket down, get some water, bring it back up, and so on and so forth. Water was limited. Have you ever had a time when you, like in, I think it was just a few years ago, they said we had to quit watering our yards and whatever because the water was getting overused and so on and so forth? You see, an idea of an artesian well, that just wasn't in the picture here. There was no such things over there. There aren't any artesian wells. Where I lived, back on my Phelps's farm, we had an artesian well way back in the back, and we used to go back there with buckets and get that fresh water. Man, was it the best drinking water you ever had in your life. It was really good. They had no idea of that. They had no idea that this was there. And that aspect is that he's going to give her an artesian well that's going to burst up inside of her. And in doing that, she will never thirst again. She'll never have to come with a bucket to draw water again. Can you imagine? Could it be that this man, this one, could Jesus really do that? Well, verse 13 says, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, right? How many of you drink water and you thirst again? I drink filtered water at a house. But I guarantee you, when I go up north beyond Houghton Lake and I drink water up there, it isn't very long I want another drink of water. And I drink some water. I drink water. I drink water. Something about northern water, it tastes good. If you ever noticed that. And you get, drink a drink, you want some more. You get thirsty because of the water. I know that fact. I know it. I go up north, dear honey. I mean, I drink water and drink water and drink water. I come home and I make myself drink water. You know what I mean? Huh? So he's talking about this fact that aspect is when you drink water, you thirst again. And you thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. The water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now the subject comes home. What am I talking to you about, woman? I'm talking about eternal life. Whenever I'm talking to people about Jesus in this book, I'm talking to them about eternal life. Isn't that true? Aren't we all dealing with eternity? Isn't that what this book is about? How people can have this living water bursting up like an artesian well within them and bringing and satisfying their spiritual thirst so that they won't thirst for the world. They won't need the things of the world. In fact, they'll begin to hunger and thirst for things that are righteous. And in doing that, they will be what? Filled. Satisfied. In the aspects of that. You see, eternal life, that's the issue. He was interested in her soul. And are we interested in people's souls, or aren't we? Why in the world do we exist as the body of Christ if it isn't to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and eternal life, salvation? Isn't that what it's all about? Well, it certainly is. So she finally said, and as he said, "Yes, sir, give me this water. Give me this water that I will not thirst again." Another thing, then I won't have to come here to draw again. Is she getting the picture? Huh? Yeah, she's getting the picture. Did you get the picture? Have you got it? Have you been drinking from this living water since you've been born again of the water of the Spirit? This artesian well that Jesus promised you and me that would come and dwell up inside of us like an artesian well and would satisfy us as spiritual beings. She's not, and she is ready. She's looking at it. She's ready to accept this living water. But the real test now comes. Go get your husband and bring him here. How honest was she? Huh? Well, sir, I don't have a husband. Oh, yes. With honesty came out. She spoke the truth, didn't she? You see, she's ready for living water. You know that? Huh? You know how many people have lied to me over the years about, "Oh, yeah, you can come. I'll be there on the Lord's Day. I know I need to become a Christian," and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. This woman was now getting a taste of what maybe she could have from this man. She was beginning to understand this was no ordinary man that's talking to her. There's something about him, and there's something that begins to get her wanting to taste. "I want to taste this water. I want this water that you're talking about. Go get your husband. I don't have one." That's true. You've had five, and the one you have now isn't your husband. Now what he said? Yeah, he did. And so the point is, he said, "You have said truthfully, correctly, you have no husband." The aspect, of course, is that when it all gets down to the point and they continue this conversation and she's talking about it, she says, I know that Christ was coming. I know that the Messiah is supposed to come into the world. I know this prophet and so on that the Bible talks about." She evidently must have had some knowledge of the Old Testament, right? She knew that there was a promised Messiah. There was a Christ that was to come, an anointed one, a king. And he said, what did he say? "I am him, the one that's talking to you. That's who I am." You know what he said? Yeah, he did. And so when you think about it, and you look at everything that has taken place in this conversation, Jesus knows everything that there is about you and me. He knew she had no husband. He knows everything. There isn't anything in your life you can hide from him. He knows you and me inside and out. He knows every time you lie. He knows everything about you. He knows your inner thought. There's nothing hidden from him. He knows the imaginations, the thoughts, the intents of our hearts. He knows all of that, doesn't he? And if there's anything and anyone you need to be truthful with, it's him who is the truth. He is truth. How can you lie to the one who is nothing more but truth? And that's who he is. And he is the life. Isn't he? That is who he is. And so that's who this is. And he says, I believe he's saying, we all have a thirst that only he can satisfy. That's what's driving this world insane, you know what? Huh? Jeremiah talked about it like a broken cistern. This big, huge jar, and people are out there in the world just pouring water into their lives, represented by this broken cistern. But they have no idea, have no concept that there's cracks in the vessel, the cistern, and the water keeps running out, so they keep pouring more and more and more, more alcohol, more this, more that, more this, more that. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what happens out there? Because you cannot quench your thirst when you're trying to satisfy it with physical things of this world. It cannot be done. You'll just want more and more and more. And ultimately, you become enslaved to it, don't you? Now, what happens to people? They become drug addicts, don't they? Alcoholics. Can't live without it. can't exist without it. I mean, that's what indeed becomes the ultimate in slavery. So what is the end result? The end result, as I see it here, is very clear. The end result that it ought to be is what you and I are doing right here today. We're worshiping Him. Remember they got into this conversation about the temple? And Jesus turned her attention to the temple. And what did He say? He said, "Lady, woman, there's a day coming when they're not going to that building. Neither the Jews, Samaritans, the Greeks, the barbarian, no one's going to be going to that temple to worship God. For God isn't seeking those kind of people anymore. Because if you're going to worship God, you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the quality of people that God is looking for. That's who He wants. That's who He desires. As people who were, the word is adoration. Greek background of the word worship is simply to show God adoration, thanksgiving, praise, glorifying Him, thanking Him. Why? Because He's given us living water. I don't thirst anymore. I have an artesian well in me through the Holy Spirit that is like a living water that continuously is gushing up inside of me. And it satisfies. It satisfies. That's indeed what God anticipated would take place. Why am I here today? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Because that's what He does. We come here to get our cup filled. Somebody said it's like coming to get your life full of gas. Get fueled up and filled up again and inspired and edified and strengthened. Why? So you can go back out, and when you have an occasion and somebody's talking to you about something, you can turn that conversation around and you can lead that person to salvation. See, most of us don't even have that in our minds, maybe. I don't know. But that's what I tried to do in my life, is to master the ability to take an ongoing conversation with somebody and not to try to make them feel judgmental or whatever, but somehow to lead them to a that there is another need we have. We can feed ourselves physically. We can feed our minds with intellectualism and all that other thing. But man's basic need is spiritual. And when that need isn't being met, they're empty vessels. And they need the water that Jesus is the only one that can provide. They need that living water. There's no question about that. So what did she do? She left her pot. She left it there. She goes back to the city. She goes there and she starts talking to the men, saying to them, you know, what happened? You can't believe what just happened to me. I've met someone there in that city and he's told me everything there is about me. He told me all the things that I've done in my life. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? You think so? Maybe? And they began to catch her spirit. They saw her excitement. They saw this woman was really sincere and earnest about what she was talking about. So what did they do? She's the first soul winner in the Bible. She took the city, and they went out to see who this guy was. This man, right? Huh? And if you read the text and see the story, you'll find that all of a sudden they evidently got caught up in Jesus' teaching about this living water and whatever. And then they said to her, well, we don't believe just because of what you're saying to us. And we now believe because we have heard Him ourselves. You know, we have ears to hear, but we don't. I don't know how anybody can read the life of Jesus Christ and not realize that this one had to be more than just a man. They had to be who indeed He declared Himself to be and who God declared Him to be, His Son. And that His teaching is not of this earth, earthly. His teaching has a heavenly tone to it. It's a spiritual message that really meets us where we really are. Because we're all thirsty. And we can't, in and of ourselves, of all the world gives to us, we can't quench that thirst through the physical world. Jesus said, your life does not consist of the abundance of your possessions. And you'll find that people who have more are emptier than anyone else. They just want more. And when they can't get more, You know, like Alexander the Great, no more world to conquer. Done it all, reached his limit. There was no other name, nothing. What did he do? He went on and hung himself. Can you imagine that? Nothing else to live for. We've conquered the whole world. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go out and hang myself. So as the movie star people, all these people do, they get all these names in the flashing role. They're popular. They're beautiful. They have all kinds of plastic surgery and all the other things to try. And pretty soon, they come to the end of their life and they find that they're empty. There's nothing there that's satisfying their life. So what do? They take pills. They become alcoholic. They commit suicide. On and on. Isn't that right? Huh? Do you see it or don't you? Huh? You see it. So when you walk into people's lives, and I walk into people's lives, do they see that our lives are filled with living water? That we're not empty people. That there's something flowing in us that maybe they would want to get a little taste of. Okay? That's so important. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New. Remember when Jesus talked about the wine bags? You don't take fresh wine and put it into old bags, because the bags will just rip and tear and whatever. So whenever God gets done and he's going to pour that living water into it, he's going to renew you. He's going to take you and make your life complete and whole again. And he's going to put it, that water in there, so it's going to stay and it's going to begin to burst up and flow within you as living water does. And you will have every substance that you need to live life to its fullness and not thirst anymore. Not thirst anymore. She became a witness for Christ, as we already said, and they took note of that sincerity, and she said, come on, come and see this man. You see, the word declares that when they went out of the city, they came unto him, and they believed. He was welcome to stay. The Samaritans wanted him to stay because they recognized the invitation is clear. He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the promised one. Come and see this man. Come and see this man. Come and see this man. So what are we inviting people to? She invited people to come and see this man who made a difference in her life. Come out and see him. Look at, he's the one who told me everything about me. She's a changed woman, isn't she? Huh? So when you're out there, can you witness and can you give testimony of the difference that Christ has made in your life? What a difference he's made in my life. What a difference he's made in my life. Can you honestly testify to people that Jesus has made all the difference in your life? Have you ever had people come up to you as you've worked with them and shared your life with them, and they come up to you and say, can I talk to you, man? So you go over here and sit down in the dining area or whatever, and I've been watching you, Bill. Now, I don't know what you got, but whatever it is, I want it. Have you had people say that? Huh? You ever had insurance agents, after a period of time, watching God bless your life in such a way, and you giving him the glory, you're simply saying, well, it's only because God is blessing me that I'm as successful as I am. And he's doing it. I'm not doing it. God's doing it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see, God is at work in us to accomplish his will and purpose. Isn't that what I said last week? Huh? And now the aspect is that God needs vessels that he can fill with his living water. And when you go out there, that people are going to see, you don't thirst for what they do. Your life is satisfied. You got yourself together. You have a relationship with eternity. You're living a life of eternity, not temporary, eternal life. They have to see that. They have to feel that. They got to be able to see you're the real thing. You're not a put on. There are too many hypocrites out there. And they see them all the time. They see them all the time. They really do. So are we open to let God fill us with this living water? so that we can become a testimony and a witness to the world that there is one who can quench their thirst. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And why did you come this morning? If you have that living water, you would come to be filled and to be strengthened and encouraged, but you would come to worship. You would come to worship, to thank Him and to praise Him and to honor Him and to meet around His table and to thank God for loving you enough to send His Son, and that living water would come into your flowing within you. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You should have come here to worship in spirit and in truth. And in truth, in the aspects of it. So are we Oshman. What did Jesus bring to her in all of the aspects of her life? And what did she do? She saw herself in the here and now. So should we. We ought to see ourselves coming to grips with reality that there is nothing more important to us than having this living relationship with an eternal God that wants to fill our lives with this living water. This living water. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, behold, is the acceptable time. Today, now, is the day of salvation. Nobody's going to quench that thirst inside of you until you accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life. That you obey Him, you accept Him, acknowledge Him. When one is scripturally baptized into Christ, they're not baptized into any church. They're baptized into Christ in obedience to have their sins washed away. What? So they can receive the gift of the living water, the Holy Spirit coming to abide in them and to begin its work. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame. Nothing satisfying there I found, but to the blessed cross of Christ I came, where springs of living water did abound. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. A wonderful and a bountiful supply. Suppose that songwriter got it? I'm sure he did. So if you're thirsty and you want it satisfied, that's why Jesus came, to satisfy that quenching thirst that you have right now, that you may be trying to fill with everything else but Him. But Jesus is the water of life. And He wants you. He really does. He really desires you so He can fill you with His Spirit and His love, and you can have this artesian well flowing inside of you. We're going to offer an invitation. And that invitation is for any one of you that wants that salvation. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. And you need Him today if you don't have Him, okay? So let's stand together as we sing.